As you know, the legislature is in legislative session, having begun their legislative session here this most recent Monday, January 9th, and they're in just the beginning of this 100-and-some-day legislative session. Joining us on the program today is the Senate Republican leader, John Braun, Senator John Braun from Lewis County, the 20th Legislative District. A little bit later in the program, one of his seatmates, State Representative Peter Albarno, will also be joining us later in the program. And so we're super excited to hear updates from Senator Braun and Representative Albarno and to better understand exactly what is happening in Olympia right now. Senator Braun, thank you so much for joining us today on the program. I appreciate you taking a moment to step aside and call into the program today.
Yeah, you bet, Mike. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
So, congratulations, by the way. Appreciate your leadership in the Senate Republican Caucus, and particularly your leadership in that Senate Ways and Means Committee. It's so important that we have a real critical thinker on these committees, particularly with the state's budget matters. And we're quite honored, actually, to have a leader from Southwest Washington in these key roles. So congratulations and thank you for your leadership.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure and honor to serve in this role.
So let me ask you, you're a couple of days into the legislative session now. How are things going as the legislative session is getting underway?
Well, it's always hard to judge after just a couple of days, but I can tell you a few things. One is there's a lot of bills out there, and there's some that are, you know, okay, and I think we'll find bipartisan efforts, and there's some that are worrying me quite a bit. I think the priorities have not changed from last year, because we really haven't solved the top issues for Washingtonians around the state. You know, still have a huge public safety issue. We got to fix the Blake decision. We got to fix this pursuit issue with law enforcement officers. And we need to get more law enforcement officers on the streets. We still have an affordability issue, and whether it's food or gas or housing or child care, Washington State is just unaffordable for many middle-income folks. And then finally, we got a lot of work to do on our public education system, K-12 public education system, the learning loss that children face as a result of the school closures or staying home during the pandemic is very real and very impactful, and we need to get after it.
So particularly learning loss has been an issue that seems to have gone by the wayside for the governor and other members of the legislature who had been focusing. There are critical issues, of course, in housing and homelessness and behavioral health, but it seems like that question that you brought up concerning that learning loss has kind of been set aside. Is that a fair representation? It seems like it's not quite getting the attention that truly it deserves.
I think that's fair, and I'm pretty disappointed that the governor and the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, they don't even want to say the words learning loss, let alone acknowledge that it exists. But the facts are the facts. You know, a third of our students are not passing at grade level in reading and writing. We have gone from being a top 10 public school system in the country to being average, and frankly, we're falling further. We need to get after this. They don't want to acknowledge that we're not doing the right thing for our children, and it deserves our attention. Let's be clear, you know, in the Constitution, it says providing basic education is our paramount duty. There's little that's more important. Certainly there's a lot of important issues in Olympia that we should be dealing with, but there's literally nothing that's more important. And it's what I always say, it becomes people's third or fourth priority, and when you're third or fourth in Olympia, you're not getting much attention, and that shouldn't be that way.
And education is, according to our state constitution, the paramount duty of the state. The paramount,
right.
The first, the most important priority.
That's right.
There are other issues, of course. You had mentioned as we started the conversation concerning particularly public safety, fixing the impacts of the disastrous Blake decision and how that has rippled throughout our community through more crime. And we have to get ahead of that. Meanwhile, the legislature in the last session had tied the hands of law enforcement. How are the legislators doing now in trying to find some cooperative solutions to allow law enforcement officers to get back to work?
Well, I think I'm optimistic. I think there is a path. We have some folks from the other side of the aisle who recognize that we've gone off the track, and particularly on the Blake decision, that's not working, that we have real results because of the four decisions the majority made in 2021. Just as an example, opioid or overdose is now the leading cause of death if you're under 60 years old. The growth rate in overdoses in Washington State is over double the national average. We know that the policies the Democratic majority put in place in 2021 are failing our citizens, and people are dying as a result. We have to do better.
And Senator Braun, what are you and your colleagues proposing as the next alternative to the existing law from 21 that the majority party had adopted? What are you proposing we do differently?
Yeah, so this is a complex policy, but the simple version is they essentially legalized hard drugs for all practical purposes. Now, technically, they made it a misdemeanor, but the reality is nobody was prosecuting it as a misdemeanor. And the other reality is under the current law, even that small item goes away the 1st of July. So what we are proposing is look, and I want to be clear, we're not about just putting people in jail because they are caught with drugs in their possession. We're about getting people off addiction back into contributing roles in society. But we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes that involves law enforcement, and we need leverage sometimes to get people into and keep them in treatment. Law enforcement understands this also. They aren't out there just trying to put people in jail or prison. They're trying to get them fixed so they can get back to a normal life. But people don't often just walk into treatment on their own. It often takes an arrest and a deferred prosecution with treatment in its place as leverage to get people into treatment and keep people in treatment. What we're proposing is just that, as well as this kind of a ratchet up system where, you know, the first time there may be an arrest, but a deferral in lieu of treatment. And then if you complete treatment, then the arrest can be set aside. If you don't, then there may be a mandatory period in jail with some mandatory treatment. So both the penalties ratchet up. If we can't keep people in treatment, we turn up we use this leverage to get them in and keep them in treatment. This saves lives. We know this because this is exactly what communities across the state have done through the drug courts with significant success.
We even here in Cowlitz County had a very successful drug court program. I would mention one of the best in the state, actually, a real model. Yep. And many had benefited from graduating through that program and had reformed and recovered their lives as a result of having gone through that process. But it took that interaction with law enforcement to be the catalyst for that change.
That's right. And I think, sadly, law enforcement has gotten demonized for a couple years there, when in fact, you know, the law enforcement officers I've talked to and I have worked with, they understand. They're very compassionate, very respectful. They understand they got a role in keeping their community safe, but they also understand that if they don't help folks take on these addiction issues, get them treatment, get them on a better path, that they're not going to be able to solve the problem. So I think we have a path, I think, for a good solution or a much better solution to this issue. It's sad that we've had to have so many people die of a drug overdose to get some of the majority to recognize they're on the wrong path. But I am optimistic we're going to get there this session.
It's the fourth day of the legislative session. On the line is State Senator John Braun of the 20th Legislative District. Senator Braun, thank you so much for joining us again today. Could you give us a bit of some insight? What does it look like your day there today in the legislature?
Well, I would just tell you, every day is a little different. In the first week in particular is a little different because, you know, you have the state of the state, you have the state of the judiciary, you have a bunch of the swearings in on the first day. But generally, for me, we'll often have meetings at 7 or 7:30, and then we go many days go right into committee for a couple hours. Then we'll go back to the office, and usually it's a flurry of 15 or 20 minute meetings for a good chunk of the day, a small period for lunch, and then either back to committee in the afternoon, or in some afternoons that are free, we may have additional meetings with constituents or stakeholders, and then somewhere in there, and that'll go on for the next 6 weeks or so for the first part, where we are mostly working in committee. There'll probably be floor action 1 or 2 days a week just to do a few bills. Once we get past cutoff and committees, then things will change. But that right now, this is all about committee work. And of course, there's a flurry right now. We've had over 700 bills dropped just in the first few days. So you have to, you know, not only manage the bills that you may be working on yourself, you also have to get to know the other bills that are out there and start asking questions and figure out if these are bills that are, you know, look like they're good for your constituents and for the state, or the bills that don't make sense. And then you got to divide those into bills that maybe can be adjusted so that they do good things, and bills that just don't make sense long term. You need to figure out how to stop them. So it's a very busy world, very busy life, and we pack a lot in 105 days.
Requires an amazing amount of attention to detail. You yourself have some 9 bills that you're the prime sponsor or the main sponsor on, and then dozens more where you're the co-sponsor supporting other legislators' efforts to enact one measure or another. Seems like quite a few different concepts and ideas and proposals to keep track of and to navigate through that process.
Yeah, it is. It's really a busy time, and I have not, since I stepped into the leader role the last couple of years, I kind of pulled back from running quite as many bills as I normally do, just because I wanted to focus on the success of the caucus, in particular success for our new members. This year, I felt like we were in a little better shape, and I had some things specifically I wanted to work on personally. So I'm doing quite a few bills, and there's a few more that were still in progress that either I'll drop or I'll ask perhaps somebody else to drop if they're interested in them. But there's a lot of things going on. There's a ton of things to work on to help people around the state and around the district. So there's no free time. There's always something to work on. And another thing I would say on top of that, and what used to consume my time, of course, was budget and budget negotiation. While I'm not personally involved in that to the level I once was, it's still a big part of what I try to work on and shaping that and shaping the priorities in the budget.
Right, and so the Senate Ways and Means Committee there that you make reference to, that was your primary responsibility in previous sessions as the ranking Republican member in that role, correct? And then now that you've moved into the caucus leader role, another Republican member has taken that role on the Ways and Means Committee as that leader who's helping to negotiate that budget in the committee.
Yeah, that's right. For 8 years, I was either the vice chair, the chair, you know, negotiating the budget, and then when we lost the majority, the ranking member. Again, maybe not negotiating the budget, but it still had opportunity to influence the budget and try to make sure it reflected the needs of our district and needs around the state. It's you know, and you can imagine, you know, and of course the budget's grown tremendously over recent years, but whether it was the $33 billion budget when I first came here, or the current $64 billion budget, you can pack a lot of stuff in there, a lot of detail. And I always tell people, it's not often the high profile, colorful stuff that makes the biggest difference. Sometimes you got to get deep into the budget where you can bend the cost curve now, which can save hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars over the long term. And that's money, ideally, you would have that you could hopefully send back to taxpayers, or at least invest more wisely to get them better services and better response from the state government.
Well, Senator Braun, we sure appreciate your service to us in the legislature and your role and your dedication there. I think we're going to check back with you the first week of February. Until then, thank you so much. We appreciate your service in Olympia on our behalf.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Senator. We appreciate you very much.